Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Past. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we got a dark, dark beer here.
Yeah, man. A dry Irish stout from the good folks at Sketchbook. Sketchbook, man, all they do is make good beer, man.
Yeah, on our last episode, we were drinking some Irish Reds that turned out to be Oktoberfest, and that really kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, I can see that, man. This is true to form, though. This is Bud's Corvus. I guess the Corvus is... the genus of the American Crow, and it's named after one of their friends. I don't know about this name, but this beer is, I like this beer though.
Yeah, what is it? 4.7%. It just makes you feel good, kind of like a Guinness does. Like you're just like enjoying every sip. You get a nice little pillowy, dark brown, tannish head on it.
Yeah, it's a good balance of chocolate and roast, and then it's somehow light and really fun. Yeah. When people say they don't like dark beer, I mean, you honestly could give them one of these. And if you drink cola, this would kind of make you happy.
Yeah. And if you weren't looking at it, if you had your eyes closed and drinking it, you might think it's, I don't know, just maybe a brown ale or like not necessarily.
It doesn't drink as dark as it appears. Mm-hmm. That is facts.
Yeah, a Sketchbook. We haven't had a Sketchbook beer on in a while.
Yeah.
And we know Sean Curry listens, so figure we it's about time.
Yeah.
Man, St. Patrick's Day came and went. Mm. In years past, we drank so many Irish Reds.
Yeah, leading up, yeah.
And this year, not so much. I enjoyed the Three Floyds one.
The New Brand Brew, whatever that name of that one was.
Right.
Some kind of weird, you know, temples of the barbarian galaxies, or you know, some weird
ancient king of the ruins, or
something like that. Yeah. I like that one. I like this one.
Yeah.
Recency bias. And then you know, Guinness, just regular Guinness. The Guinness Draught was flowing a lot.
Yeah.
At the party, so that was kind of that hit the spot.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, it's just solid all the time.
I know. I think. My St. Patrick's Day party, I was just doing mostly half and halves. Mm. The Harp and Guinness. It's just like my go-to St. Patrick's Day drink. It's basically 4%. You're getting a nice, like, thing you would only drink at the that time of year. Or maybe if you're at Guinness, they'll do it, but they don't have Harp. They'll do it with, like, whatever lager that they have.
One of the lagers made here at the Open Gate Brewery Chicago.
Right.
Yeah. They open at 8 a.m. St. Patty's Day weekend, so both Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
I was there on Friday at 8 a.m. just to pick up bagels. Pop-Up Bagels, which is the name of a bagel company in New York.
Oh, shit. Okay.
They won Bagel Fest twice.
In New York?
Yeah, in New York.
That seems legit to win Bagel Fest in New York.
I mean, you know, you won Bagel Fest.
How were the bagels?
Fantastic bagels. Yeah. I think their thing is they do these drops and you pick them up warm. So you get this bag of bagels and they're like insanely piping hot. Like they had to have just come out the oven.
Yeah.
You know, it makes no sense to go anywhere. Guinness is open. You got to get the shot. So, you know, the picture. So you get your Guinness out, you get these bagels. It came with a schmear. Like this Guinness stout. It was a coffee stout. It wasn't the Guinness Dry Irish Stout. Mm. It was a coffee stout cream cheese. And you get these bagels. You know, you get your poppy seeds, you got your everything, you got your fucking sesame. Fantastic stuff. Now, they kind of suck the next day.
Okay.
That's on par for most bagels if you don't care for them. You leave them on the countertop like I did. They suck the next day.
Yeah.
You can bring them back, though, with like water, you know, over a paper towel.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder. Have I had a good bagel?
Hmm.
I like bagels. I get the ones like the Whole Foods and like the Trader Joe's everything bagels. Like they're good, but are they like good bagels?
Is it, yeah, are they good bagels? And then have, do you make it out to like any kind of bakery of any kind to get a bagel? Like there's a Steingles, I think it is. I'll get a sandwich on a bagel. Like they do a brisket sandwich on a bagel. I've gotten that, but I never just intentionally go out often to get.
I've had like Bro Bagel from the Peace Guys. It's fine.
It's cool.
Einstein Bagel back in the day.
It's none of these bagels. This is a fair point. None of these bagels are going. None of these bagels are grabbing you, and you're going. They're not wowing you. They're just bagels.
Right.
These are some good ass bagels. I'm not gonna hold
you. But then I wonder, do I like the just like the not the mediocre bagels?
Do you just like that? Is that your lane for bagels?
Yeah.
You know, you can go to some like farmers markets and get bagels. Now let's turn into a fucking bagel show. Let's bring it back to beer. They use at Peace. They use the what you call it.
Yeah.
They use a spent grain for theirs at least. But other than that, we're just talking straight bagels.
Yeah. But it's just one of those things where it's like you drink macro beers for so long and you're just like, I like lagers. Do I even know what I'm looking for when I get into that? Like, oh, if I got into bagels, do I know what a good bagel tastes like?
This is true.
And then am I disappointed by the grocery store bagels?
This is fair. And then also do you even have an appreciation for if you don't eat bagels a lot, your idea of a good bagel might not be the idea of a good bagel to somebody who's always eating bagels.
Same with like the stout. This is a great stout.
I like the stout a lot.
But people who don't have the style, they're like, I don't really care for it. It's like, I'd rather have like a chocolate stout that's like sweet and candy.
Like a sweet stout, like an English.
If they're getting something like this. So I don't know. It's a weird idea.
Like a Young's.
I don't know. I'm all over the place. I don't even know. Bagel talk.
The bagels were delicious.
And they paired well with the Guinness.
And, you know, things I didn't think I needed in my life was 8 a.m. Guinness with fucking bagels. It is spot on. Fantastic stuff. We forget that Guinness is here, and we forget that I don't think other towns party like we do for St. Patrick's Day, just in general.
Right.
I think other people started to. You know, you go to like San Antonio, they dyed every river walk green and stuff like that now. But that's just like Wrigley Field, like, you know, they had the ivy in the outfield. Now other places have that, but you know, it's kind of a trendsetter. Exactly.
Chicago,
yeah.
So,
Chicago gets
everything
after
great is from Chicago. Right?
That's what Dilla says. So. It was cool to get down there. I didn't try anything but the Guinness and the bagels, and then I got out of there, man. So I did that, and I went down to the South Burbs, man, Thornton Distilling Company.
Oh, nice.
If you let these guys tell it, it is the oldest standing brewery in the state. They're obviously not making beer. But they do have a license to make beer. It's a distillery.
Oldest standing brewery that doesn't make
beer. Doesn't make beer. So I think what he means by that is that they're the oldest standing physical building that used to be a brewery that's still making spirits but that's a mouthful. So I think the sales pitch is we're the oldest standing brewery, I guess.
But we don't make beer.
Little letters. Yeah. They have when you talk about bourbon, Kentucky always talks about their limestone shelf, and that's where the water in Kentucky is so great for making whiskey is perfect for that. And a lot of people don't know that. You know, the limestone shelf runs through Indiana. That's where MGP, a lot of the source whiskey in the country comes from MGP. And that same limestone shelf runs through Illinois. So this is the limestone capital of America, this town, Thornton, Illinois. They got this huge limestone quarry right off the expressway that you can see from space. And they have a natural artesian well that that they use to get water to make this whiskey. So they're using limestone well water to make the whiskey.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That was fun, interesting, kind of far. But if history is your thing and cocktails and old, it looks like an old. It's an event space. People get married there. It kind of looks like an old haunted something out of an old Western movie. You know, like a bar from another
That's cool.
time.
Okay,
it's
a saloon.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's like have one of those push. Doors, like
no,
those
no.
It's
doors. It's got a bunch of different rooms though.
Yeah.
You got the bar, they got a kitchen, and then you got like a basement, and then you got like three private rooms, and then you got this wedding thing. Oh, but if you get married, the upstairs kind of hovers over the bar.
Okay.
So everyone's in the bar downstairs watching you come, you know, meet the bride and groom. It's actually a pretty slick spot. I would definitely recommend it. Because you can do a 1-2 step with Homewood Brewing Company. I didn't do that. But but they're in the same general vicinity. They told us a crazy story about this casino out there. I forget which suburb. It's in the south suburbs, a casino.
Okay.
And how, you know, one of his biggest issues is like, hey, you know, distributors kind of own these tap lists at these big locations.
Right.
So to the point where, hey, you own Thornton Distillery and I like your whiskey, we'll buy it from you, but we can't exactly put it on the tap list or the bar list.
People have to ask.
No, we have to put it on like on a pop-up stand that sits on the tables because the distributors own all the items on that list.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Oh, and there's a rumor that at this hotel, not the hotel, at the casino, that the casino's charging like $100,000 if you want a draft line. If Nick and Brad have a brewery and we want to get our beer on draft at this casino, they're like, we'll love to do it. All we need is $100,000 and we'll give you a line.
That doesn't seem worth it for any like local brewery. Yeah, right?
I don't know. What if you got a lot of inventory? Like, what if you got Lord Feel like Homewood Brewing, who's got the 30 barrel system? You know, what if you're Three Floyds and you got the inventory?
And you're just like, we just need to keep it flowing.
Yeah. It's small. Maybe. Yeah. It's an interesting concept. Okay. Like, but pay to play has always been a thing since the 90s. I think that's why New Glarus pulled out. Yeah. Stone left for a while because, you know, we're notorious as a city. Just the culture here is notorious for like, oh, yeah, we'll give you five kegs of this, but you got to sell this beer, not the one you were going to order from. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It's always been a thing. So.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I was just prepping for the St. Patrick's Day party. Got nothing else accomplished. It went nowhere.
I mean, what's it go? I did go to Peace. I met day job that we met at Peace because my manager is in town from the West Coast. He loves Maplewood, and he loves Peace.
Okay.
Every time he comes to town, it's McCormick Place because that's where all the conferences are. So we ended up at Peace. Peace has all new beers on. They don't have Camel Toe. They don't have Moose Knuckle, but they do have
Swingin' Single.
I didn't even see those. They've got those styles: Pale Ale, Hef, Double IPA.
But they're called something.
They're all called something else, and they're all different recipes. Barley Wine, Barrel Aged Barley Wine, which was really good, by the way. Barrel Aged Barley Wine, and they're taking liberties with these names. They're having too much fun. Each name's got like five words in it. And it's just these weird phrases that I don't get the reference to, but the beers, pretty good. I'm like, hey, I don't know. They
really
pretty good. The barley wine, and I'll speak specifically to the barrel aged barley wine and the pale ale. It's a rye pale ale. It's like 8.7%. And those two kind of hit the spot. I'm like, man, I haven't been here in a while. Cause last time I was here, it was all guest drafts.
Yeah.
I was just like, man, maybe you guys just need some space. Maybe you just need me to not come. I don't know.
There you go. Okay.
So.
I guess, yeah, I haven't been to Peace in a while. I got mad at them for the surcharge they put on the menu.
Oh, I don't know about the surcharge. Is it like for, like, not for taxes, but for, like, healthcare or something?
Yeah. Okay. 3%
Okay.
Thing.
I do remember hearing this. Yeah. I started thinking lately, man, over the years, man, we get invited to some weird stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all based off beer.
Right.
So this past week, I went out to the Burbs. I went out to the West Burbs by that Oak Brook Lombard area to this place called Billy Bricks. This was a pizza making class.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on and why I'm coming to this thing. But it just reminded me of like over the years, I get invited to some pretty weird shit, wine making master classes, barbecue joints open. I went to RPM Steak. Had a like a truffle event, like the truffle, by the trees that you get in the ground, not the chocolate.
That the pigs sniff out.
Exactly, yeah. And it just reminded, this pizza making class reminded me of all these weird things I ended up finding myself at. That Mark McDermott, I met him at one of the barbecue things once, and he's like, well, beer is food, Nick. And I guess when you look at it through that lens, these things become less weird. They're still a little weird to me that, all this stuff would just come from like, it's basically beer accounts,
That's true.
But ended up at a pizza making class, which is actually pretty cool. New Haven style pizza in the West Burbs are celebrating their 20th anniversary. I've actually never made pizza.
Oh, you never have?
Yeah. So
it's fun. And then you realize how simple it is, and then you're also like, wait, they're just rolling this dough out and putting the sauce and stuff on it. This is easy.
Exactly. And then, you know, it's kind of like they call bullshit on because I got a location in Florida, and they call bullshit on, like, oh, the water in New York is, you know, the best water. It's best for bagels. It's best for dough. And they're like, oh, you know, that we call bullshit on that because we turned on the tap water in Florida, and we made our dough with that, and it tasted almost identical to the water in Lombard or wherever the fuck, you know.
Right. Didn't, like, doesn't Dovetail or some of the even New Belgium talk about that? It's like, it doesn't really matter because you can pH balance the water to taste like the water in Belgium, to South Africa, to whatever. You can get it to taste exactly the same. So it doesn't, if it's a pH, if it's acidity of the water or whatever.
As long as it's drinking water from the town you're in and not like ocean water.
Yeah,
you can. You can do whatever you want to it.
Yeah, you can get there.
Yeah, so they're New Haven style. Not a lot of beers on. Like, I'm gonna post a reel. It's like Peroni, which is kind of like an Italian Stella, I guess.
Right.
And then red wine after that. I'm like, I'm only drinking one of these Peronis. You know, other than that, it was like High Life. The pizza's cool. I think pizza and beer are kind of like that classic combo. I mean, look, the Beer Temple just booted their whole menu, and now they're making Middlebrow Detroit-style pizzas.
Right. Or I thought grandma style.
Yeah, the article said Detroit style, but they look like grandma style.
Okay.
Because I went to Professor Pizza, and they look just like those. Mm-hmm. And I thought, but Detroit style is the squares, almost like the focaccia style breading. Right. It's one of them. They're claiming it's Detroit style. So okay. We'll see. I'm kind of curious. I might go get the mushroom one.
Yeah, I'm tempted. Sit at the bar. I might need to go to Beer Temple finally.
That's funny.
They had a pizza, and I'm like, I might go now.
It's a pretty okay bar. It's pretty okay.
It's really not that far from me, too. Or you.
No, it's the best closest bar.
Question would be, do I go to Beer Temple for pizza first, or do I go to Crust? That should be open. Oh,
that's another one. Yeah, Crust Pizza, the satellite location. They're killing it in the city. So, and open. They're killing it in Rosemont. I guess,
even though everyone who ever talks about their beer is like, no one talks about their beer. That's kind of.
Ike and Oak. That's another place that's got a pizza primarily. That's out in the West Burbs, like Woodridge or something.
Yeah. Both be like hungry.
Yeah,
we're just talking bagels. We're just
trying to, we're trying to loop in the pizza thing because this pizza make glass. And I'm like, why are we talking about pizza on a beer show? Oh, but the Mount Whiskey Hill, we've got two locations. They're part owned by Salerno's Pizza.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so there's a lot of pretty serious beer pizza connections. Yeah, so. Well, I think that's all I've been up to lately, man. Didn't like the coffee. Schmear. It was an excuse to drink Guinness at 8 a.m., but the coffee beer cream cheese, I'm kind of out on that. It's got a weird consistency, and, you know, just kind of, I don't know, just misplaced, I think. I didn't really like it. There's some good-ass bagels, though, Brad, these pop-up bagels.
And that was just them doing that then? And
just for the holiday. Yeah, because they were open so early, they're like, well, what do we do?
Yeah.
I guess they're like, well, fuck it, we'll sell bagels for today.
That's some bagels. Interesting. Do you think Guinness is going to need to make Guinness here in the U.S.?
Oh, wow.
If there's tariffs on European alcohol? Because all the Guinness we get in the U.S. comes from
the stout.
Ireland.
The Guinness that we know to be Guinness, the dry Irish stout.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all coming from Dublin.
Do you think they start making it?
Wow.
Here in Chicago and Maryland.
You know, it's funny you bring this up because it was a Brewbound pod, one of these pods. I'm at McCarl all the time. I'm always listening. They said that Delirium Tremens sent over like 2 tons of beer to
just ahead of time?
Ahead of time because they wanted. They said it would triple the cost of it would triple for them, and it wouldn't be advantageous for anyone to buy it at that cost. So they shipped it in advance. Yeah, 2 tons of their beer over here.
Interesting.
So, I don't think it's just going to stop there. I think, I think who's the guy from Rev that always does reels? He said that they're going to stop calling domestic beer domestics, and all the major players are going to encourage that American-made beer follow the lead of American-made cars and just say it's not a domestic beer, it's an American beer. Because you don't say you drive a domestic car. You drive an American car.
Okay.
So this whole nationalism thing that, you know, your boy Trumpito is right behind is playing directly into what you're saying. And, like, how do you get around this? I feel like the reason why Miller brought made Cruz Blanca was to, like, a preemptive strike in case something went down with these tariffs. Like, hey, we've got Mexican-inspired beer that we make here. So this is a valid question.
They make a lot of other beers here because they're not shipping all the beer.
Did it rain again?
No, the heater thing kicked on.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, on the Guinness side, I feel like they probably start testing it.
But, you know, like we said, I think we said in the last episode, it would make sense because not all the Guinness in the world, the stout, is made in Ireland.
Right.
They got breweries all around the world.
It just happens the U.S.
The U.S.
only gets Guinness from Ireland.
And part of that is because, the beer that the world drinks is the foreign extra stout, the 7.5 beer. Mm-hmm. That's the most popular stout in the world. But the American market is drinking all of the dry Irish stout.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what does that mean for Guinness? If it's coming from Dublin and it costs triple the price.
Right, because I think we talked about it a few episodes ago. They wanted to sell Guinness.
They wanted to sell. We thought it was Guinness, the entire brand. But when you read into it, they're just selling off some of the breweries.
Oh.
I think like a couple of African breweries.
Oh, so locations.
Like Cameroon,
Not like Gates.
St. James Gate?
Yeah.
Not the original. Okay. No, like they've got like seven around the world. And I think they were
one in like these places where they're like, it's not making sense.
Like let's offload.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, because you could make it in Baltimore.
Right.
Shit, you could make it here.
Could make it here.
Yeah.
I wonder.
That would have been a good question for them. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. I bet they test it and not tell people on draft. And see if people notice.
Because it's the only beer on the list. If the list has 12 beers, the only one not made here is the stout.
Yeah.
So you could just start making it here.
Right. If you can do it.
If you avoid tripling the price.
Yeah.
Then you make it here.
Hmm.
That's an interesting one. I wonder if anyone's asked them that yet.
With all the alcohol stuff and the tariffs, there's the, Canada sent back all the whiskeys and stuff.
Yeah, and which they're snatching all off the shelves.
Which apparently liquor stores don't pay for the product on the shelves until it's sold. So everything on the shelves is, I think, the distributors or manufacturers still own until it's sold. So when it's sent back, which makes sense, is beer is destroyed.
Yep.
The Binnie's isn't responsible for every 12 pack that didn't sell.
That makes sense. That's true. They're supposed to come get it after so many days, too. Right.
So they were able to send everything back.
Wow.
And not be charged for it. Which is like a crazy idea, because does other stuff work like that? Does cereal at the grocery store?
Avocados.
Right?
Right. Like, hey, we decided we're not taking this shrimp from China. This shrimp's got to go. This frozen shrimp, this whole pallet, it's not sold. This whole freezer's
got to go. Take it back.
It's got to go.
Yeah.
We're not selling it.
I don't know either. But that's interesting that they can just send it all back.
Yeah, that's
wild. And then where'd it go? Did it just come here in the U.S. market? I was talking to someone at our party, and we've talked about this on the show. I think whiskeys and bourbons get so cheap here in the U.S. that there's no reason to drink anything else if you're drinking, because I don't know, a bottle of whatever is going to cost you $10.
Yeah. Wild Turkey 101 is like 19 bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Evan Williams is like 11 bucks. Yeah.
It is now or no?
No, I mean, it
could be. Yeah.
It could be. And then so all this
four pack of Sketchbook at, I don't know, $14.99 or $17.99, like, but I can buy a bottle of whiskey.
It starts to become, you know, this was the argument for the Phase 3 beers. You know, they got this four-pack of barrel-aged stout, and it's called Kentucky Hugs, and it's $50 for the four-pack. It's like, well, at what point do we just just go get a spirit.
Right.
At what point do you do that?
And if someone like Goose Island is advertising that they use these barrels, where, you know, we talked to Rev about this, and they're kind of like, we're making the best beer with the barrels we have, and it's not, it's about the product, it's not about the barrels.
Yeah, it's not about the fancy barrel, it's about what
you do with it. But if Goose is about the barrels, why don't I go drink the bourbon and not the beer?
It leads to that if the bourbon is so, you know, Bardstown with the fancy packaging, the green label this year, uh-huh, is $40 with this fancy box.
Yeah.
It's a $40 bottle of beer.
So what's that bourbon?
The source whiskey ain't too much off from the 40. The source whiskey's probably like 10 more bucks.
Right.
Yeah. It's, you know, beer is taking itself a little too seriously at that point. You know, that's why, to give Rev a lot of credit, they don't raise their prices, but they, you, Coconut Deeth is like $50. I saw it the other day at Benny's. But, you know, but just in general, though, these breweries, and they have to do this kind of stuff, obviously, but, you know, you're charging $50 a four-pack, anybody, or you're charging $40 for a bottle of beer like Goose is doing. Some consumers who've had those products are going to say, man, I'm about to go get this bottle of Buffalo Trace and just be done with it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just going to make, we have a cocktail tonight, and that's the end of that.
Right. The good part about those is they can stay on the shelf longer than the lager.
You can reseal them, yeah. Are you talking about stouts?
The stouts. The stouts. So the Bourbon County can sit on the shelf for a couple of years.
Sure.
And it's fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting to see. I didn't think about the tariff impact on, like, when you knew that was coming, but you didn't really see the scenarios and how it would play out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know about the Guinness stuff.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I don't know any other big enough brewery that the U.S. drinks enough of that's not made here.
Is Corona? I don't think Corona's imported, right?
Maybe, Modelo. But it might be made.
It might be. Because Stella, like, positions itself as like a Belgian product, but it's made at AB plants.
Yeah, I don't know where Corona is, but it's probably made.
It might be the same.
Something like that.
Yeah. They're making too much money. When they own that day, like no one else owns any other day. Guinness owns St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
Like no other thing, like no other singular brand owns a day all year like Guinness owns St. Patrick's Day.
Like May on Cinco de Mayo.
Is Corona coming close? I mean, Corona, but Corona's got Modelo. And, you know.
Modelo's got the Negro lineup of those beers.
Yes, yeah. They're sharing. So they're sharing.
Sharing, but no one's
No, I mean, and Corona in general is not. You know, I don't know. Well, it's coming up soon. I guess we'll see.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Oh
man. So yeah, if they got that much foothold over a particular day, they're gonna figure out, well, how do we keep this train rolling?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good question for them. Now I want to go back and ask them.
Because mm-hmm. I picked up this year, there's mostly just cans of Guinness.
Oh, okay, not a lot of bottles.
But I picked up some bottles, and it made me also think, like, oh, a lot of the, like, aluminum stuff with the tariffs, like, cans are going to get more expensive. So are we going to see these bottles start to have a resurgence, even though they're heavier to ship? Like, what's the cost?
Because you
might not be there anymore, but everyone's invested in these packaging lines.
Yeah, and they already have existing can inventory. It's going to be hard to switch.
Right.
Well, some places probably got rid of their bottling stuff to make room for the cans.
And wasn't that, you're not drinking Guinness out of the can or the bottle, so it kind of was like a moot point
You're pouring it in both cases probably, right? Unless it's four extra stouts, you might be drinking that out of the bottle.
Maybe,
But we never drink that.
No.
I never ask for it. If it's missing, I never say where is it. Right? I just drink the one that's here, the drought you know, so. But yeah.
Damn. All right. Anything else before we wrap up this quick episode? Anything else happening? Anything else coming up? I feel like we're on the cusp of outside drinking weather.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's it, man. I think that's it. Beer in the Glasses in May. I think that's May 9th.
Okay.
Um,
Chicago or Illinois Craft Beer.
That's the kickoff.
week.
Yeah.
Day. Illinois Craft Beer Day.
I mean, because there's no closing. And then a lot of people.
Or other events.
Yeah, a lot of people don't participate.
Okay.
So.
Nice. All right. So we'll be talking more about that because it's at a new location. It's in Millennium Park.
Weather permitting, that might be pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
We'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
Short and sweet. I think I'm going to try to go to Blind Corner
this
weekend.
Baseball is back this week, so I'm going to probably go to opening day.
Oh.
And just see what new beers are down there.
It's already opening day?
It's opening day next week.
Oh, shit.
Like Wednesday.
What's day?
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah. So, well, that's at Sox Park. I don't know what opening day for the Cubbies is. But
are they just going to start letting people in this year for free?
You know, I heard that, and it makes a lot of sense, because you can get Cubs tickets for pretty cheap the day of. But the reason you can do that is because the Cubs have, I think you told me this, the Cubs have more
season ticket
holders.
So people have to try to get rid of them.
Well, but there's less season ticket holders out south, so you might be paying like $30.
Right.
Where that same ticket would cost you like $10 at Wrigley.
But I did learn, like, if you're going to park, don't pay to park ahead of time because you're having to pay, like, fees on the app. Just pay when you get there.
Oh.
At the lots.
Yeah. Parking lot B, that's where the 108 guys are. That's where the party is. Yeah. Whiskey at Comiskey is always in lot B.
Okay.
You can tell by the flag. It's the Chicago Bleacher. No, Chicago. Yeah, Chicago Bleacher Bums.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's, like, they got a chef. They got whiskey tasting. It's beers from across the country. It's probably the most absurd free thing you can do.
Damn, okay.
It's a mess. I think that's probably what we're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I feel like the Cubs are probably later because they're playing in Tokyo right now.
Yeah, and they might not start at home. In fact, I think they start in L.A.
I'm waiting for Chicago Dogs opening day.
Oh, man. When's that?
I think that's May.
Okay.
Like, that's later.
I'm going to go to a Dogs game this year.
It's.
And then I'm going to go to Crest. And Zombie Metropolitan.
Oh, so there you go. That's a day, right? That's a day. Opening day. We should go opening day. It's Wednesday, I think May 9th or 7th.
See?
That could be your day. It could be a Chicago Beer Pass day.
I would go.
Let's do it. All right. I think that's going to do it then.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
All right. Cheers.